The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
What's coming up on today's experience? Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflection. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but man, are they fun to listen to. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Maybe before this show is over. I hope so. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. Now, wouldn't that be nice if we used our life lessons for faith? That would be fantastic. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Don't know. Also, Bible trivia for fake, and yet somehow at the same time, real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here's the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen. And we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. Not just the Wednesday night and the Sunday morning. Boy, I bet you did good yesterday, Sunday morning, going to church. Everybody's nice. I'm talking about after church on the drive home when that guy cut you off, that gal cut you off. When that construction was taking place in front of you and you were like, wait, when did this happen? No! I'm talking about that. I'm talking about when you got the meal that you wanted to get and it wasn't as good as you wanted. I'm talking about all the things that we go through all the rest of the time. Because that's part of the Christian process. That's part of the Christian journey. So here's what we offer. We offer you an opportunity to share your opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question. Now, that can be about something that's going on in your life. It can be something that the Lord's working on. It can be a prayer request. It can be a praise report. It can be just a trivia question that you want to answer, just something you want to share, something that's on your heart. We encourage you to reach out to us, and we'll do our best to be encouraging back to you in the whole process. Now, our number here, 972-445-0770. Not a complex number, not a deep number, doesn't have a lot of thought behind it. It's just 972-445-0770. When you call that, terrific to you, will answer the phone. That's just like getting warm cookies right out of the oven. You just can't tell me that's not fantastic. I mean, the best cookies in the world, when you're cooking at home, you pull them out as soon as you pull them out of the oven, right? Right at that moment, right? Do you like them that way?
I love it that way.
I mean, is that not the greatest? And then even though you're supposed to let them cool so that the consistency is maybe a little tighter, you know, sometimes you grab them and they squish in your hand. But they're so good. It's like dripping with goodness. That's what it is. That's what happens when you call in, too. 972-445-0770. Then Terrific Tea turns you over to me. And it's like you eat that cookie, but then you bite your tongue. Ah, that always hurts. Doesn't it? It sure does. You can text us, by the way, 214-210-8483. Now I got cookies on the brain. Now I'm just like, I need cookies. 214-210-8483 is the number you can text in. You can also email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. The reason that you can email that is because we have a website called hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Check out the website. There's nothing new there, but it's fun to check out. if you haven't checked it out, something to check out. That's kind of how I look at that. I'm coming off a weekend. It was a very long, long weekend for me. I was just mentioning to T before we went on the air. Long. Everything seemed long this weekend. I think it had to do with the fact that I had to read 176 pages between Friday at 6 and Sunday at 6. So that's a lot of pages to read, and I don't just get to read, which would have been a lot easier, just read it, right? But as you read it, you have to comment, and then you have to take those comments, and then you have to put them in a paper, and, you know, it's not a regular book report. Boy, that would be so cool. I would just go to Amazon and just pull off the whatever they write for the description. you can't do that. So the bottom line is I'm a little tired, so you might notice that. And if you do notice it, or if you want to pray for me, which I always need prayer, I've already asked two people that reached out to me today about what I need prayer for. Actually, Al reached out to me yesterday. And so I just need prayer for refreshment, just some little rejuvenation, little revitalization. We have Easter weekend coming up this weekend. I'm praying very hard for the churches. We're not going to do anything really bizarre or unique. I might do a message or two, but you've got churches that you attend or ministries that you connect to, and we're praying for all of them because this is a big week for them. A lot of preparation, praying for a lot of people that have never heard the gospel or maybe just need the gospel presented to them again and that they can make a first dime, big time decision or a return decision to follow Jesus Christ. We should all be praying for that. The more people we have in our country that are genuine, Bible-believing, born-again Christians, the better off we're going to be. There's no other way around it. So please be in prayer for your church and for the people around you and for the different churches because they're going to be reaching different people just as God does in his unique and fantastic manner. Right? Right. All right, let's go into a little bit of teaching. I want to talk to you about this. I have probably 20 Bibles at home. I used to have like 70 different Bibles. I know this sounds crazy, but it's a long story. I don't want to get into it, but I used to go to used bookstores and buy used Bibles. I mean, one of those things. So I probably have about 20 now because of all the schooling between the master's and the PhD. Plus, I have another 40 versions electronically. So I have a lot of versions. And one of my Bibles that I have is huge. How big? Big enough where I hardly need glasses, which is pretty good because I need glasses for almost everything I do. And I was going through it and looked at some old notes, and I came across this, and I wanted to share some of this stuff with you. It's really fantastic. It comes out of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, by the way. Here's how it starts. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always thank God for all of you, making mention of you constantly in our prayers. Just want to stop right there. You think that's nice intro, Dave? Yeah, that's really nice letter. He says it. Here's what he's saying, though. We always thank God for you. What I want you to do is think about people that you think about, Christians that you think about. Just answer this question. Do you always thank God for them? Or sometimes you pray, Lord, let their leg get stuck in a bear trap and then slap them with a 2x4 so they're not being so jerky. You ever do that too? Here's the bottom line. We ought to be thankful for one another. You never know at what point you might be a blessing to somebody else or they might be a blessing to you. And I use this passage a lot when I talk to you guys about praying for one another because Paul does not sit there and say, I always thank God for you when I sit down and spend 17 hours in a row praying for you. He doesn't say that. He just says, I thank God for all of you, making mention of you. The only difference here is that he does say constantly. So whenever he's praying for somebody, he's being thankful and appreciative for them. Remember, iron sharpeth iron. Right? Remember that proverb? So the idea behind that is to understand that sometimes we get together and there might be a little bit of friction, but don't forget that God has brought people into your lives to help generate some of that so that you know what happens when iron sharpens iron, when it gets really heated is there's sparks and there's friction, but there's also a greater sense of moldability for the product or for what's being used. And sometimes the Lord allows fiery things to happen in order to make you actually more moldable, even though it's got a lot of friction and got a lot of heat up. What I'm really trying to tell you in this, though, is that we ought to be mentioning one another in prayer. You don't have to mention everybody by name to be perfect at this, But you got, like, when you're thinking about, when I think about the audience, I do mention names from time to time, but I pray for the listening audience. God knows every person who's there and every person that has a need in there. And then if somebody comes to mind, I'll pray for them or think about them. But it's not as though the Lord's going, well, your prayer's got to be perfect. Everything you do's got to be perfect. Look, it's just being more mindful of others, or as mindful of others as we are ourselves. And when we pray, we often take a laundry list into the Lord. We come before the Lord and we go, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this, I need this. As though God didn't know what those things were, right? Remember, the purpose of prayer is for your fellowship with the Lord, not for you to inform God. And so the height behind this, or the understanding or the vision behind this, is for us to be aware that when we're praying, you don't want to be just self-centered, thinking just about yourself, but you want to be thinking about others. You want to be considering others as often or better than you do yourselves, more often than you do yourselves. Not that they're better people, just think of them more often than you and present them before the Lord in prayer. Guess what happens if you do that? What a man sows, that shall he also reap. That means that other people will be praying for you. And you know what's great about praying for somebody else versus praying for myself? Whenever I pray for you guys, I have more faith. It's the weirdest thing, but it's true. Pray for somebody in a situation they're going in and notice the metric of your faith. And then pray for yourself and what you're going through and notice the metric of your faith. The faith is always higher when you're praying for somebody else. Keep in mind, that's how God designed it. Isn't that just like the, that is so cool. Right, pray for others. And guess what? Then, because what you sow, so shall you reap, others will be praying for you with faith. Got it? All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Is the David Spoon Experience?
Let me tell you what I'm torn between the two. I'm twixt between the torn two. You want to know why? I've got the biggest breaking story ever.
No,
to
you
be,
need to do that first. Yeah, I just can't wait.
More than my whole thing about the four-way stop sign.
Yep.
You want me to do the number one story?
That's
Ladies
right.
and gentlemen, you better get ready. Here's my advice. I don't give this advice very often, and I don't give it uncheckfully. What's uncheckfully? I don't know. Here's the biggest story you have ever heard on the David Spoon Experience. If you have children who are listening, if you are not in a car, it's time to cover their ears or send them into another room. That's how chilling this is. Ladies and gentlemen, I have it off the press literally within the last 2.5 hours. Actually, it's less than 2.5 hours ago. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. I have it right in my hands. Get ready. Do not get nauseous when you hear this. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a fact that as of today, the Navy, the United States Navy, officially has made its proclamation. Ready? Are you ready? Are you listening? This is the most important thing ever. You ready? That Captain Crunch is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States Navy has declared that Captain Crunch...
I do not buy it.
No, listen to this. Here's why. Let me tell you why. Captain Crunch has 3 stripes on his cuffs, and that signifies a commander and not a captain.
So the United States Navy has made it absolutely known today, Captain Crunch, nay. He nay a captain. Nay. Now, it is true.
Are you going to rename the cereal Commander Crunch?
Yes, Commander Crunch. That's the new. That's why I told you, don't let your kids hear this. It is possible that that uniform could represent either German or Portuguese Navy. They are not sure because all of those uniforms were lost with their great navies.
On Christ the Solid Rock, I stand.
Welcome back to Wackadoodle Monday. To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I still think of all, I've taught a lot of things. I've taught a lot of scriptures. I had, like 3,000 hours of live radio. That is one of the funniest. The Captain Crunch thing is just so funny. Yay. He not a captain. Nay. It's like, wow. That's a rare moment. I think I had too much of something in me. I just don't know what it was. Let's carry on. Don't forget, we've got our trivia. We're going to open up with trivia right now. Not the most difficult trivia, but I am looking for more of the accepted answer. Okay? I cannot say it any different. The overall genuinely accepted answer. So you might have to dig a little past your most immediate church just to think of, well, most people think of it this way, okay? What was Lot's relationship with Abraham? What was Lot's relationship with Abraham? And that's how you know that Abraham was the smartest guy around. Why? Because he knew a lot. See? Okay. Don't laugh. I've got so many jokes you would cry. I mean, do you want to do one? Okay. Where are we in the first time? No, we're in the other time. Okay, we'll wait till later. Thank you very much. That's the question. Let's see if people can get the answer. In the norm, what's Lot's relationship with Abraham? In the meantime, we have to do DNA because DNA is critical to how we function as Christians. Let's talk about DNA, the acronym we have. DNA, D, well, it's not really an acronym, but it stands for something. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. I just cannot stress it enough. All the more as we see the day approaching, therefore we ought to daily be spending time with the Lord and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never be ashamed of what you read in that book. God knows how to write a book. He created the universe. People are like, well, people misinterpret. You don't think that the God who created the universe can go, I want to say something. That's so that's D, that's the N, and now the A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means we are sensitive to others, not just ourselves. A very important point in the process for us to be otherwise minded, not just ourselves minded. Okay, the question in general, what was Lot's relationship with Abraham? Your answer should genuinely be out of Genesis 12. If you think you know the answer, here's the phone number to call in, 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. I think if there's anything else we need to cover, that's trivia. We did DNA. We did that. Okay, I want to get to this next little section on this Thessalonians thing because I think it's super duper 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 fascinating. Here's what it says out of verse 3. So we already did verse 1 and 2. We talked about prayer. Now I want to just briefly talk about verse 3 because this is a wonderful 3 and 4 are just really wonderful. But listen to this. It says, we recall in the presence of our God and Father. Now watch. There's three things, and you should know all three of these things. We recall in the presence of God, our God and Father, that your work produced by faith, right? Your labor motivated by love and your endurance inspired by hope. Now, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Everybody knows that verse, or most everybody knows that verse. Here they are again, the third time actually in the Pauline writings. Here it is, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, could be your service, and your endurance inspired by hope. The reason that faith and love and hope are so important is because of what results from them in our lives. Faith creates works that we'll attempt to do, not works for justification, but works for the kingdom of God. Faith, I know it's bizarre to think of it in these terms, but faith produces stuff for the kingdom. When you have faith in God, when you have a confidence that God is working with you in a partnership, it is that faith, that confidence, that trust that you will do things. You will plant seeds. You will water seeds. You will bless seeds. You will help. You will participate. Your faith helps get things a-rolling. It helps get things going. You know, you don't really get into the process until you start exercising faith. You don't really understand the process until you are exercising faith. People start in faith, and once they use faith, I'm going to give you the kind of the clearest way to think of this in a quick picture. Once you operate in genuine faith towards God, the Lord pulls back the blinders and lets you see more clearly. He requires faith on your and my part in order to pull the blinders off. And once these people are like, well, I'm not going to live by blind faith. I got to see it to believe it. And it's like God is like, look, my kingdom operates differently. If you want to receive, you got to give. If you want to live, you got to die. And if you want to see, you got to believe. All in the opposite. It's just like the Superman opposite world thing. The bottom line is God says, I'm going to pull these blinders off of your eyes and you're going to see things you never thought you could see. The way I'm going to pull these blinders is if you have faith, I'm going to rip those blinders right off your eyes and you'll be able to see. And you think of Elijah when he was with his servant and he was like, oh no. Remember they were coming to get Elijah and he's like, oh no. The servant's like, oh, there's more of them than us. And Elijah's like, watch this, Lord, let him see. And as soon as he was prayed for, all of a sudden that guy could see chariots of fire, chariots of the Lord all about, because without that faith, he couldn't see it. And Elijah had to pray for him for that to happen. See, when you use faith, it enables you to see things you couldn't see before that are there. That's what the key is. So he says, we recall in the presence of God our Father, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love. Whatever you do, it should be based out of a love for God and a love for your neighbor. Okay? I know we want to do things to get medals. I understand that. I'm a human being. I want to get a trophy here too. But what the Lord wants us to work for is a trophy in heaven. One that will last forever, not one that will rust or corrupt, not one that we can get a title for and then somebody can find out later that we didn't get there the appropriate way. What genuinely real, everlasting trophy in the kingdom of God. So what God wants us to do is live in these labors of love for the sake of the eternal reward. And he wants us to have our service motivated by that love. And then he closes it and says, and your endurance inspired by hope. And that's one of the things that hope is supposed to produce in us, is an endurance to keep going. And without hope, you don't. If you have no hope that the situation will get better, you will live in a dreadedness. You will live in a pit. If you never exercise hope, you will live with an unspoken sense of despair walking behind you the whole time. That's terrible. Don't live that way. It's like, yuck. You want to have faith operating in your life so you can actually see the things that God wants you to see and do these things that the Lord wants you to do, knowing that it's in partnership with God. You want to have your service motivated by love, not just by self-aggrandizement or self-exaltation. And you want to have an inspirational hope that enables you to endure all of the yuck. And there's a lot of it. There's a lot of yuck. And then he lists all three of these things. We recall in the presence of God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor motivated by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In our Lord Jesus Christ. You're not doing this by yourself. You need to have a partnership with God, and Jesus is offering you an unlimited, never-ending, never-failing partnership. He's stretching out his hand. Remember in Revelation chapter 3, he was knocking on the door at Laodicea, knocking on the door of their hearts. They were a church. I mean, we use knocking on the door of the hearts for unbelievers, but guess what? Jesus said it to believers. He's right there waiting to partner with you. Isn't that cool? Well, I just think that, just think of faith, hope, and love in those terms as defined by 1 Thessalonians 3, and it's like, that's pretty awesome. Okay, now we have the trivia question that I did not answer, so I'm going to answer. We're not trying to rewrite anything or do anything weird. What was Lot's relationship with Abraham? He was his nephew. Okay, he was the son of his brother. So therefore, he was a nephew. That's what we would call a nephew. Some people say it's, you know, broader than that. Meh. What's it? Meh. Meh. Not that much. Wasn't that much broader. Okay? All right. Couple things to tell you up ahead of time. We are going to be starting Ezra and Nehemiah, but I probably am not starting that tomorrow. So that's going to be Wednesday or Friday or possibly the following week. We will continue with Acts. There'll be no problem on that, but I'm kind of giving you a forewarning of the lay of the land. I didn't forget, but I didn't plan on Easter as the way that I would normally. So I didn't really set up a lot. So I want to go through and look at some of the old Easter messages that I shared and see if there's any applicable. Because it's always fun to cover some of the basics on Easter. And, you know, here's the thing. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, if he's not, then stop. Stop being a Christian. Just knock it off. And that's what Paul said. He said, if Christ didn't rise, we're of all men most miserable. Well, that's right, because we're doing all this for nothing, right? So just keep in mind, it is at the core of your faith. And any teacher that teaches he didn't rise is a false prophet. I don't care how well received he's been. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then It was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.